You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm, so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
Sometimes life gets busy. You want to pray more, but between work, family, and everything else, it's easy to forget. That's why there's Echo Prayer, the simple, powerful app that helps you stay consistent in prayer. Organize your prayers, set reminders to pray throughout the day, and pray with others. Because prayer isn't just something we do, it's how we stay connected to God. Ready to jumpstart your prayer life? Learn more at echoprayer.com or download Echo Prayer for free in the App Store.
I remember my little sister, she's 4 years younger than me. She was like, Nicole, oh my gosh, have you downloaded Instagram? This is such a fun app. I was like, what is it? And so I download it.
In 2012?
Yeah, it was like 2012. And my sister was working for the Kardashians at the time. She works in PR. And I remember being in awe because my sister had like a ton of followers from by association of working with the Kardashians. I was like, Noelle, how do you have all these followers? And she's like, oh, it's because of this and that. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to use Instagram and just post like photos of food that I'm eating as I'm healing, right? Like trying to like replace this unhealthy obsession with sugar loaded cookies and cakes. I started spending time in the kitchen replacing these ingredients with like better for you ingredients. And I'm like, okay, the moment I started like making some of these swaps, the urges to binge over time slowly went away and I was documenting.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
That brings me to today's guest. Nicole Kashishian is a proud Armenian, a single mom of two boys, a full-time recipe developer and content creator based out of the San Francisco Bay Area. Nicole started her Instagram account over 9 years ago, and at the time, she was an unhappy employment litigation attorney with a bad eating disorder, which we will get into, that no one knew about. After her ex-husband caught her during a binge, she committed to getting help and healing her relationship with food. Nicole used Instagram as a diary to share recipes of food and that she was creating on her healing journey and platform to share how intuitive eating led to food freedom. The more authentically and from the heart that she shared, the more her community organically grew. When she hit 50K followers on Instagram at the very beginning of influencer marketing, she was able to leave her career as an attorney to pursue recipe development and content creation full time. And in 2022, she published her debut book, Yay, Love to Eat, with 10 Speed Press, which was a huge success. Today, the at Kale Junkie community spans over 3.5 million followers across social media platforms, and she is regularly featured on news outlets and various media. Nicole's journey is one of resilience, tenacity, and believing in yourself enough to get to where you want to be, both professionally and personally. And I'm just super grateful that we get to share space with her today. So Nicole, welcome. I am so happy that we're finally doing this. I've been fangirling you for a while now, wistfully wishing that I had the courage to get in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have been fangirling you for so long. Really just always admire your realness, your authenticity. I knew that we would be soul sisters from across the coast. I feel like we share a lot in common, really this like journey of choosing yourself and not letting life's obstacles and things that come your way define you, and stepping into and using those gifts using those challenges as gifts to really becoming the best versions that we can as entrepreneurs, moms, and individuals living busy lives. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And listen, congrats on all of your success and for developing this enormous following of people who are really so diehard for your recipes and content. And like, On a very serious note, because I want to get into like all of the other things, right? Because like you are a content creator, I am a content creator, and we have our areas that we, you know, we discuss our topics, but like there's so much more to, I think, each of us, and especially you, considering that what your platform is sharing food recipes, right? But there's so much more to you than that. And on a very serious note, after getting to know you from our texts and calls, I learned that this whole thing started from your eating disorder. And that must have been a really, really hard experience for you. And I'm always so amazed when people can take their hard life experiences and turn them into something really, really special and meaningful that helps other people.
Yeah, you know, my eating disorder and what I went through for 15 years behind the scenes that nobody went through really ultimately gave me the career that I have today. Like my career started as my own healing journey, sharing that online and how that grew into a profession. But also, you know, something I haven't shared, you know, we'll get into it, but being, you know, I was also, after I kind of healed from that, I was also married for 12 and a half, almost 13 years. And being unhappy in that marriage, I was head down, knee deep into building out this career kind of as a way to tune out problems that were happening in my marriage, but I chose to kind of block them out and focus on my career. So my career is the result of an eating disorder that I went through that I healed from, but then also, you know, being unhappy in my marriage and having my business thrive and grow while the part of my personal life was kind of like in the shitter, to say, you know, the very least. But now I'm on the homes, you know, the other side of all of it, and really taking a moment to reflect and be like, holy cow, I did this. It wasn't through a lot of hard work, pain, suffering, crying, tears, all the things. But sometimes we got to go through the hard stuff to eventually get to where we want to be. And so my journey is kind of a reflection of all of that.
I think it's really powerful because like, you see so many successful people, people who are successful in their professions that don't necessarily have the best home life, right? And that's not gender specific. That's not profession specific. That happens all the time, you know? Yeah. And if you couple that in, like you struggled with an eating disorder. I personally struggled with alcoholism. There were times for me where I was like, am I an alcoholic or am I just miserable in my life? I came to the understanding for me that I'm not willing to risk finding out. Because my life has gotten so much better since I dealt with my alcoholism, that I'm not willing to like go backwards and test the theory. I've created a life that is really beautiful and meaningful and brings me a lot of joy. And so it's not really worth even risking it. But I do have that like question in my head sometimes, or was it just all a perfect storm, right? Of like one thing led to the other, which was like this vicious cycle of sorts where I was making myself sick.
Yes. Right?
And so what was your experience like in dealing with an eating disorder? Because to be honest, I don't know much about eating disorders at all.
Yeah. You know, and you know what's interesting? So I almost wonder if they're similar in some ways, different in others, but like, you know, food for me, it's an addiction, right? It is some type of an addiction. So I grew up in a conservative Armenian household where, you know, in our culture, you know, you're not allowed to show the cracks. Everything needs to be perfect from the outside. Having a perfect body, meaning a tiny body, was always the ideal in our culture and in society, especially growing up in LA. My mom was always dieting. She was always doing these like rice diet and cabbage soup diet, and Atkins diet, and all these things. And one day I changed schools. I went to an Armenian school. I was about 15 years old. And the girls were bullying me. I was kind of coming into myself and kind of changing from this like really ugly duckling into like kind of just feeling good in my body, you know, getting into my little groove. And the guys liked me and the girls were really mean. And because of that, I would sit by myself in the cafeteria every day. I was eating food and kind of gorging myself on cafeteria food because I was sitting by myself. And it was a really lonely experience, but I'll never forget coming home one day. And my mom looked at me and was like, Nicole, like you've gained some weight. And I'm like, oh my God. It was like
when you're a teenager.
Yeah. When you're a teenager, you're impressionable. And I'm like, yeah, you know, my clothes aren't fitting as well. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm just going through a change. I mean, I knew I was sad inside. But when she mentioned that to me, my mom, who, you know, probably, I think looking back, maybe was coming from a good place. Like, you know, she was very body conscious, but noticed that in me. So she took me to Weight Watchers, and I'll never forget, they gave me this little pamphlet of like how to count points. And it was like you assigned like chicken 4 points or whatever. So the point is, very quickly, I learned how to manipulate the size of my body by following points. And not only did I lose the 15 pounds I gained, but I was like, oh my God, I'm losing more weight and I'm feeling good. I'm getting more attention from men. I was like, you know, it was this like happy, it was this like just this perfect storm of like me being, now I'm like 16, 17, 18, kind of like in my prime and like very skinny, but feeling good because I'm getting attention. I didn't see a problem with it. But because I started restricting and not allowing myself to eat, what happened was I started binging on everything. I didn't allow myself to have a cookie or a cake. So what would happen when a cookie and a cake was around me, I'd gorge myself on the entire thing. And it became this, so not only gorging, but making myself throw up because I was so afraid of gaining weight from eating all of these things. And then it became an addiction. So every day I was, you know, I would go, and this is, it's so embarrassing to talk about, but I think it's really helpful, you know, for other people to know that, you know, I would go into,
I think it's really brave. I want to take a moment to interrupt you because it's really brave. And I think that there's a ton of people out there that either are dealing with eating disorders themselves, or maybe they have a child who is, and they don't know what to do. And so like, while it might feel embarrassing, I want you to know that like I'm looking at you in awe right now because I know how brave it is and how much courage it takes to actually talk about these things.
I think it's the same thing too with alcohol, right? Like you did so much work and introspection to be like, hey, this alcohol, it's a slippery slope, right? Like you start too, and before you know it, you're like in this like, you know, it's like this binge that happens. And for me, it was this with sugar. And I would go into Sprinkles Cupcakes, which we have here on the West Coast, and it's like this cupcake shop. And I would go in, and I would go in quite often, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to a friend's birthday party today, or I'm going here, like making excuses as if like the person behind the counter like cared. But I was so embarrassed that I'm buying a dozen cupcakes that I'd come home, sit in my little apartment in Beverly Hills, gorge myself, feel terrible, try to make myself throw up. And sometimes I could, sometimes I couldn't. And if I couldn't, it would just ruin my day. And, you know, I went to law school. I was a lawyer, coupled with, so there's this eating disorder and then entering this career that was really stressful and not my calling in life. I mean, I did it because growing up to immigrant parents, I mean, my dad came to this country with nothing. He was like, Nicole, you got to be a doctor or a lawyer. I'm like, I don't want to really do either one, but I'll be a lawyer, Dad. And so I struggled. I would sit in my office drowning in these legal documents, unhappy, rail thin, but struggling, like being a bulimic. I mean, taking breaks and going, I mean, I would walk in the courtroom and go in the courtroom, do what I had to do in a case, and then go into the bathroom. I mean, just these destructive behaviors that were controlling my life. And I never saw a way out. And, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I have 10, 15, when you're 10 years into something, I'll never forget one time after a bad binge, I tried to throw up and I couldn't. And I remember standing in the bathroom and the blood vessels in my eyes had like, you know, I broke a blood vessel. I don't know how you say it, but like my eye was all red. And I'm like, if I don't stop, I'm going to die. Nobody knows what I'm going through. From the outside, I looked perfectly okay. I was the girl that like seemingly had it all together and that people looked up to. And I know you can relate because like being in the public eye and like you have all eyes on you and you think like you've got it perfect from, you know, out from the public appearance. But behind closed doors, nobody really knows what you're going through. I even got married. So my now ex-husband, he had no idea what I was going through when we met. It wasn't until we moved to the Bay Area. And one day I was in the bedroom and I snuck a loaf of bread into the bedroom. I remember just a desperate moment of eating bread in bed, and he walks in. He was like, walk, like the door was closed. He like opens the door and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I like froze, and this like bread fell on the floor. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like mortified. But it was that moment that I was like, okay, this secret that I'd been living with for all these years, was not a secret anymore. And I like got caught by the person who I trusted and loved the most. It's almost like he came, I do think he came into my life for a very specific reason and purpose, not only as the father of my children, but also as somebody who extended a hand and he wasn't judging or mean or like, well, how could you do this? Or he was like, how can I help?
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
What do you need from me, Nicole? If you have, you don't need to hide food. Bring it out here in the open if you're hungry. And I'm like, I'm not really hungry. I'm just satisfying some need.
A void.
Yeah, this void.
Like an emotional void.
Yeah, it was an emotional void. It was a way to cope with stress. And even though he was so sweet and kind and loving, I think early on I knew that he was a great guy, not my person, but feeling like, oh my God, I'd made this mistake. So many things like happening in my life that kind of enabled this eating disorder.
Yeah.
I got really serious, had lost my period for 15 years also. So I lost my period. So when he and I met, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to have kids. Not getting my period. So when I decided I wanted to have a child, I had to undergo through these fertility treatments of taking Clomid and doing all these things to get my body ovulating again. When it worked, I vowed, I'm like, I am never going to destroy my body and put it through the stress and trauma that I did ever again.
If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at Nikki Sapsbo and @becoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit nikkispo.com.
And that is when I started a yoga teacher training, really just because I was obsessed with food. I was like all day long, I would think about food and what I was going to binge on and the highlights of all of that. So I went to therapy a couple times a week. I was really trying to, I was like an addict trying to get clean, trying every single thing I could. But I think one of the things that really helped, and I don't know if this is like you felt this way too, but like in your sobriety journey, once I started talking about it and kind of coming out of the hiding of like this secret and trying to remove shame and stigma around it in yoga teacher training and therapy. Now, Greg saw me like at this low point in my life, talking about it and sharing with other people, I think helped them, but really helped me the most. And I don't know if you found that. Did you find that in your...
I think that the power of community is like what has saved my life. I think that's why like 12-step programs work for people. Yeah. And I think like that's why the 12th step and most 12-step programs are to be of service to another person who is sick or suffering, right? And so in some capacity, like you, I started this podcast, right, to talk to people and to create a sense of community about a bunch of different topics, right? Whether it's motherhood and like I had mother wounds. And what I learned over time, much like you, and there are so many parallels, is that by having this podcast, I was actually doing a lot of healing for myself. Yeah. And while I was doing my best to like have hard, deep and meaningful conversations, I felt like I was helping people in some capacity, but it was really, really healing me as well. And something else that stood out to me in your testimony is that like the insidious behavior of like of hiding things, like revolving your entire day around how you're going to make it happen.
Yes.
So revolving your day around how you're going to get sneak the loaf of bread and what lie you're going to make up to because you're getting cupcakes when nobody gives a shit why you're getting the cupcakes anyway, but you need to validate it, right? Mm-hmm. Like my entire day revolved around, okay, I'm going to have be able to drink wine at this time of day because that's when it's socially acceptable to drink wine. And but I need to make sure I don't need to drive my children anywhere because I've already had it. I was already arrested for DUI back when I was like 22 or something. And so I definitely can't put myself or my children in danger. And I also can't get another DUI. So like I need to figure out how I'm going to play Tetris with my life to make sure that I can accommodate this like unsatiable yes. need
yes.
to fill my big dark void in my heart.
Yes.
That nothing could fill. Nothing.
Yep. Yeah. Or temporarily for a few minutes or for an hour or whatever it is, you're like, oh, I'm great. You know, it's like this, it's this high that I would get after like the process of enjoying all that food at once. That was like
the ritual.
It was this short-lived high of feeling like I can have whatever I want and these voids and problems are going away. And then the moment that's done, feeling disgusting, disappointed in myself.
Shame.
I'm like, I'm better than this. How I have no self-control. I'm like all the things I would tell myself, like I'm disgusting. I'm gross. Negative self-talk was through the roof and just really low self-esteem. But again, it's like, the only one that knew that was me. Everybody else didn't see that. And that's almost like the scary thing is that like I could have probably gotten away with it for the rest of my life had Greg not caught me or had I not taken it to the next level of like having one of those rock bottom moments where I'm like, oh my God, I broke a blood vessel in my eye and I'm like my brain is pounding in my head from the pressure of trying to throw up. Something's got to change in my life. And then after I started doing all these things to try to heal, I remember being in therapy. I'm like, I don't want to be a lawyer. How do I get out? I'm like, all I know how to do is law. Now I'm like $100,000 in student loan debt. How do I'm, you know, working in top law firms, but like even with that, like your these loans just won't go away. And I want something in health and wellness. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would be able to turn my story of struggle into like a different career doing something on social media. It was like such a foreign thing. But part of my healing journey was I started the Instagram account. I remember my little sister, she's 4 years younger than me. She was like, Nicole, oh my gosh, have you downloaded Instagram? This is such a fun app. I was like, what is it? And so I download it. And my
in 2012?
Yeah, it was like 2012. And my sister was working for the Kardashians at the time. She works in PR. And I remember being in awe because my sister had like a ton of followers from by association of working with the Kardashians. I was like, Noelle, how do you have all these followers? And she's like, oh, it's because of this and that. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to use Instagram and just post like photos of food that I'm eating as I'm healing, right? Like trying to like replace this unhealthy, like, you know, obsession with like sugar loaded cookies and cakes. I started spending time in the kitchen kind of replacing these ingredients with like better for you ingredients. And I'm like, okay, the moment I started like making some of these swaps, the urges to binge over time slowly went away and I was documenting. So almost like, I don't know if it's the same, but like, you know, like how an alcoholic will start going from, you know, posting their, you know, these like alcohol drinks to start making mocktails. And like slowly, maybe over time, I don't know if it replaces the urge to drink, but it's sort of you're feeling better. You're still having something like fill a little bit of whether that's the social, you know, aspect of being able to enjoy or something that kind of feels like a treat still. I don't know. But for me, when I started to document it on Instagram, and also share my story. So the very beginning of Kale Junkie and my page, although it's when you go to it now, if somebody didn't know my backstory, you'd be like, oh, all I see are these like, you know, how to make
salad
recipes. But in the very beginning, like 5-6 years ago, it was really focused on like the recovery journey. So there was a lot more of that storytelling. And, but then I, you know, I think you get to a point in your journey where I didn't want that to define who I was. Like, I'm like, okay, I've healed my relationship with food. Now I can be in the kitchen all day long and I'm not triggered by a dozen cupcakes sitting in front of me or a plate of cookies because that's not like who I am. So, or like, it doesn't bother me. So I don't feel the need to talk about it as much anymore. But, you know, my social media, when it did get to the place of, you know, 50,000 followers, this was right before like you could even like work with a brand or get a sponsorship. It was like I remember being a lawyer and getting like a brand would send me like coconut sugar. And I was like, okay, well, I charge $150 for like, I'll make a recipe. And they were like, okay. I'm like, so it was like, that was like little spending money. I was like, okay, I can be a lawyer. And I'm like, I can have this. It was just like literally a little hobby. And it gave me something to focus on other than, you know, law, being unhappy in my marriage, healing my relationship with food. All these things are happening. And then slowly over time, I was able to charge more and, you know, develop better relationships with brands, lock in long-term things, start a website, learn how to properly develop a recipe so that people come back to my website and make things over and over again and earn income from that. So it was this slow growth over time. So like, I think people now, you know, get on social media and there are a few lucky people that blow up quickly.
Overnight.
My story.
Seemingly overnight.
Mine was, you know, it's a slow burn of over, you know, 9.5, almost 10 years of like dedication and hard work and trying to really figure out how to turn this into a career. And then at some point I started kind of keeping, this is again where Greg was good in my life. He was like, Nicole, if, you know, let's start a spreadsheet. I want you to like, what are you earning from your Instagram and like your social media stuff and then your law earnings and put them side by side. And like when you get to a certain place, then you can decide whether you want to take the leap and you want to quit. So I did. So for 6 months, I kind of tracked everything that I was earning. And one day I came home and I was like, I'm going to quit. And he was like, no, don't do it. I was like, no. I have to do it. There was like, I remember like sneaking into the bathroom of like my law firm and just like posting photos on Instagram. And it was felt like I was so rebellious, but I was passionate about it. And, when I quit and I came home first, he was like, no, but then I was like, you know what? I think if you don't try something in life that you're passionate about, the door is always going to be closed. You have a 50-50 chance of succeeding or not if you at least take the chance. So I told myself, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a go for a year. If I either hate it, because who knows, once I don't know if I'm going to enjoy creating content full time, or if I can't make it a viable business, I can always go back to law. But I always told myself, I'm like, I have something valuable to fall back on. So that's what I did. And I never looked back. And I think from then, once I was like free of the shackles of like going, like somebody telling me I had to bill 2,000 hours a year and that stress, to building my own little business was very freeing. And then I started digging deeper and deeper into it as my marriage started like, you know, kind of just like unraveling. But I, you know, kind of kept the band-aids on because I'm like, you know, now I'm a mom of two young boys. Why am I not content with what I have at home? There was nothing necessarily wrong, terrible in my marriage that was so bad that like, I think, you know, a lot of women would have stayed. But I think I had this like pulling at me, this deep intuition. I think as women, our intuition super powerful. We don't want to listen to it sometimes. And right. I knew it took me years to trust myself enough and to say, you know what? This is telling me something. My body is telling me something. My heart is telling me something. And finally finding that strength to say, I have to choose myself. And this marriage was once in alignment with me, but it's not. And something's missing. And I don't know exactly what that is yet. And I'm going to be a better mom and person by ending this and taking a chance into the unknown.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community, where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram @NikkiSapsbo and @WeAreBecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker.
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.